Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God's love gift to his people, to this world. Jesus cares, he heals, he saves, and Jesus gives peace. Now, in the Old Testament, Jesus' name is not mentioned. However, the passage we read from Isaiah 40, clearly shows who he would be. That he would tend God's flock, including the little ones. He gathers, as we read, he gathers the lambs into his arms, and he holds them closely to his heart. As I said, the Old Testament doesn't mention the name of our shepherd. The New Testament does. He is Jesus, the Good Shepherd. He will make life good and glorious. That is his blessing and our joy. It is a blessing given in every worship service. In fact, this afternoon we again will leave this worship with his blessing. That blessing is not only for adults, for big people, but also that blessing is for children, little children, including the ones baptized this afternoon, Benjamin, Jacob, and Caleb. They are brought here in church by their parents. The blessing is for them as well. That's what we hear in the gospel, and let us listen to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ then, that the gospel is for small and great alike. It is an answer that we also confirm with question and answer 74 of the Heidelberg Catechism. And so that I may serve you this afternoon with the word of God as follows, that little children fully belong to the Lord Jesus. Little children, beloved, they fully belong. For the Lord Jesus received them in his arms. He gives them his blessing, and he gives them an important place. First then, the Lord Jesus receives the little children. When the event of Mark 10 took place, the Lord had ministered to the Jews for almost 3 years. For the people of his time, the Lord Jesus came across as an itinerant preacher, a prophet with special powers and authority. Something what no one else had done before, he instantly did, opening the eyes of the blind, making lame feet strong and firm again. He gave even life to the dead. Now, because of his miracles and wonders of healing, Jesus Christ was popular, and he drew crowds of people. Now, the ordinary people also liked to listen to him. Jesus easily held their attention by his spellbinding teaching, especially his emphasis on the promised kingdom of God appealed to the Jews. Jesus stimulated great expectations through his claim that God's kingdom would come through him. God's kingdom connected to Jesus Christ, it would come to him. But the big question is, how would then people participate in that life? How would people enter God's kingdom, enjoying the peace that nowhere else in the world could be found? Regarding the involvement in that glorious life, Jesus preached, people didn't get him. For Jesus urged them to give up everything, to give up their lives. Well, who would do that? Giving up their own lives. Another bizarre thing with Jesus was that he talked about obedience to God, and he called God his Father. Even the Son of God, he claimed to be. And he urged repentance, to repent and follow him. But a strange thing was that when they wanted to follow him and to make them their leader or ruler, he ran away. The life he promoted looked terrific. It looked very appealing. And yet, for the ordinary people of his time, it was not in line with their thinking and with their worldview. His teaching went against their grain. He put their lives upside down. And they, of course, weren't comfortable with that. Also, the Jewish leaders were not at ease with the Lord Jesus. The leaders had another problem. Jesus made them look foolish. But Jesus was very critical about their explanations of the law of Moses, especially how they, as lawyers and scribes, applied scripture to the people, but in fact didn't keep the law themselves. And the Lord accused them of being self-willed and legalistic. He used characteristics and characterizations such as hardness of your heart. Neither did the Jewish leaders, of course, like it that Jesus called them deceitful hypocrites. And yet, the rulers, the lawyers, could not ignore him because of all the public attention the Lord Jesus received. And so the ordinary Jews with their leaders, they had their questions, they had their opinions, misgivings, their dissatisfactions, and even they disapproved about the Lord's ministry. All of those people show the evidence of the main problem with man. What is that problem? What's the main problem with man? Well, man wants to have a good life on his own terms, not on God's terms. And that's why people, though they were attracted to the Lord, the people did not stay with him. They left him. Now that was different with a small circle of people around Jesus, his followers and friends. They stayed with him and they continued to serve him. But how? Were they truly helpful to their master? Did the disciples, did they get his teaching? And did they act according to his teaching? In his busy engagement with the Jews and the rulers, our text says that children were brought to Jesus. They were small, very small children. The biblical word shows that they were infants and children of nursery or preschool age. In the other Gospels, it is said that mothers brought them. In our text passage, Mark 10, the Bible uses masculine words. And that indicates that fathers also were present. So what do we see here? Parents wanted their children to be partakers of the blessed life Jesus was teaching and talking about. Parents wanted their children to be involved in that life. Take note, congregation. These people, the little ones, the children, did not come to the Lord Jesus on their own accord. They were brought to the Lord Jesus, even carried to the Lord Jesus. And their parents, they came with the request, "Oh, please, disciples, bring our children to Jesus that he may touch them." That is, that he may lay his hands upon them. And as the gospel writer Matthew adds, that he might pray for them. But we have read, the disciples did not grant, they did not honor their requests. Even they rebuked them. And that meaning of rebuke here in our translation is to hush them away. To do that in an insensitive way. Something like they would have said to the parents, how do you dare? How do you dare to go to Jesus with these little ones? What do you think? That Jesus Christ would have time for children? Oh, he is too busy for that. The disciples' action wasn't right, as the Lord made very clear. But congregation, we must be very careful to be judgmental on the disciples. For in our text, in the Bible, the reasons for their action is not mentioned. And therefore, I like to think that the disciples refused entrance for the little children with good intentions. The disciples wanted to help and they wanted to protect the Lord Jesus, their master. They must have thought that Jesus was already busy enough with the people and with the rulers around them. And you know what a tough time all those people gave to the Lord. With all their prying questions and with their interfering statements. And so, the disciples wanted to shield the Lord Jesus from ongoing disturbance. You know, often people have good intentions in what they do. But beloved, good intentions don't make things right. You know, with good intentions, Peter drew the sword to defend the Lord. With good intentions, Martha was absorbed with domestic duties while the Lord Jesus was teaching. In all that, however, there was too much of themselves in all their work and actions. Time and again, the Lord's disciples and his followers obstructed the work of the Lord. And so they were misguided by their own well-meant actions and intentions. And we must be aware of this, beloved. Beware. With good intentions, church members, parents and office bearers can drive children, can drive people away because of a human and an insensitive approach. Now, we know the Lord's teaching. We have the whole Bible. We are blessed with the Gospels. Now, the teaching, the Gospels, and the teaching that the Jews did not get, and that the rulers did not get, and also that the disciples still didn't get it either, that truth actually is woven through all Jesus' teaching. It's already mentioned in the sermon. One cannot come to the Lord. One cannot enter the kingdom of God along a human, man-centered way, along human power, along human importance. That's why the last, even the least, will be the first. Indeed, God will exalt the lowly. People stand themselves in the way in receiving the true life of Christ. People also can stand others in the way. Yet praise be to the Lord as he does with all other obstacles. Jesus clears all the obstacles away, and he opens the way unto them. Even little children may come, for they fully belong to the Lord as his covenant children. How do they come? How do also the little children come? They come by God's powerful word. As a true shepherd of his flock, Christ was alert. For when he saw the spiritual insensitivity of his disciples, then Jesus was greatly displeased. We read that he was even indignant. Indignant about the disciples, since they again showed a total lack of understanding on how some people, how one enters his kingdom. After all, as we also have started the sermon this afternoon, he himself and his life, everything from Jesus was God's gift to all God's covenant children. So then, why won't God be able and willing to give that blessed gift just to small little children? Why won't God accept them? He will. Listen to that powerful word of God, those golden and comforting words he spoke. Let the little children come to me. Do not stop or hinder them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. The disciples had to step aside. Out of the way, you. The Lord, as it were, said, you big ones, step aside. Make way for little ones. As the good shepherd, he received them. He welcomed the lambs of his flock, and he took them in his arms, we read. He carried them close to his heart. O congregation, beloved, little children fully belong to the Lord. They are in his covenant. They are his people. And do you know what? The Lord Jesus especially loves the little children. Even though they don't understand all his words, they get his blessing. Our second point, Jesus, he gives them his blessing. Before the Lord would have given them his blessing, the Lord Jesus would have spoken to them with only a few simple words. And who knows, but it could well be that the Lord Jesus would have quoted the words of Psalm 8, as he also had done before, for example, in Matthew 21. Then he refers to these well-known words. We already have taken them upon our lips as well in our singing, in our praise to the Lord. The Lord Jesus quotes then in the Bible that from children and infants, God receives his praise and glory. The voice of an infant that we now just heard, even not articulated. It is pleasing in the ears of the Lord. God receives his praise and glory. The truth is a loud affirmation. God loves children. Well, that's what Jesus kindly shows in our text. And the way our text is written makes clear that the children one by one came to the Lord. And so one by one he also took them on his lap. And doing that, Jesus made clear that children could trust him. That he is with them, that he cares for them, that he loves them, that he helps them. that he makes them happy, giving them all his attention. And I think that something like this the Lord Jesus would have said to them, I make you happy. I give you all that you need. And I take all your wrongs and your naughty things away. And no one will grab you from my hand. And so the little ones, they heard the Lord Jesus talking to them. And he did so as no one else had done before, in such a loving way. And those children felt his warmth. They felt his interest. They truly experienced, Jesus loves me. No doubt, the eyes of those children would have expressed something. They would have shown great excitement. A congregation, what did these little children not do? What did they not do? They did not question Jesus. The children didn't say, Jesus, why do you do this? Or why do you do that? Or did we ask? Did we ask for this? That you would take us up on your lap? How can this be true? And don't we have to do first this or first that? No, beloved, these little ones, these little children did not start arguing with the Lord Jesus. With the openness, receptivity, and nativity of a child, they felt fully at peace and rest with the Lord Jesus. They heard his voice. Come, come to me. With me you are safe. Jesus did not only speak to them, he made them feel something as well. He put his hand on each of them. He blessed them, we read. Now in Scripture, the laying on of hand is a beautiful sign. That gesture assures that a word spoken and promised are truly carried upon someone. And so the children may feel the truth of Jesus' words. It's that truth the Reformed Church confesses in question and answer 74. That infants, no less than adults, are promised the forgiveness of sins through Christ's blood and the Holy Spirit. The Spirit who produces faith. You see, our little ones fully belong. They too, and they especially, receive Jesus' gift of salvation, the gift of joy and peace. No doubt, those children with their parents went home happier than they had ever been. And that's how we may go home every time too, when in church we hear the Lord speaking to us, blessing us. Even though we cannot see him, even though we cannot feel him, yet we may go to him, everyone. And then the desire of parents of today must be to bring the children in the presence of the Lord time and again, here with the Lord and with all his people. For here in church, he still continues to speak his powerful word. And here he continues to give his blessing. Here he says continually, come to me. And here, yes, as it were, he time and again takes us into his arms, so to speak, when we were and are baptized. Indeed, parents know that when you take your children along to church, actually you bring him to the Lord. And the children, all the children here present know that when mom or dad take us to church, yes, they bring us to the Lord Jesus. And especially when we witness baptisms, usually we speak about a baptism. You have the great blessing this afternoon. Three baptisms. Parents presenting their children to the Lord so that the Lord may say, Benjamin, Jacob, and Caleb. Actually, that's what we heard. You are mine. I bless you. I make you strong and great, Benjamin, Jacob, and Caleb. And when you have grown up, and that counts for all of us, beloved, young and old, especially you adults, then you may and must, by God's grace, joyfully accept your place in church time and again. And therefore, let not your own questions, especially youth, in the church here, let not your own questions confuse you. Don't let you be fooled by what others say or think. And please never say, oh, I didn't ask to be here. And I didn't ask to be baptized. And the following I have to say as well, of course, never try to live with the Lord on your own terms. Our passage clearly shows that we need to be brought to the Lord. We need to be carried to Him. And so, beloved, our forefathers made an excellent choice by taking up Mark 10 in the baptism form as evidence for infant baptism. And therefore, we should never forget our baptism. It is God's gift unto all of us. Always remind yourself, please, brothers and sisters, the grown-ups, the youth of the church, remind of yourself of the Lord's blessing by saying, I am baptized. That is of such great comfort and strength. I'm now thinking of the reformer Martin Luther. And this great man in the church history, Martin Luther, he had his bouts of doubts and depression, uncertainty. Do you know what he did in such situation? Then he took a piece of paper and he wrote three words on them. Which words? He wrote, in a time of confusion, depression, he wrote, I am baptized. And so he took strength and comfort from God's blessing to him. There was his assurance. There was indeed all that he needed. For he knew when he was small, then he was already carried in the arms of the Lord, of his parents to the Lord. And when he had grown up, the blessing of the Lord continued to carry him. It assured him that the Lord will bless me and he will keep me, that the Lord will make his face shine upon me. He will be gracious to me, that the Lord will lift up his countenance upon me and give me peace. Congregation, what does one need more than the care of the Heavenly Father? The redemption by the Son. The preservation of the Holy Spirit. Exactly the blessing of God triune. That's always a full blessing. All that we need. In this sermon, finally, we will see that the Lord gives an important place to children. With emphasis, the Lord says that emphasis, assuredly, or in the Older Translation, it was truly, truly I say to you. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. In other words, he tells us, always approach me like a child. And even, yes, become like a child. So don't think that you can enter the kingdom like very important people. People who have their own terms and conditions, or people who throw their own weight around. Just think for a moment, congregation. All you people, I assume, who read the Bible, who know the Bible, just think for a moment. Where in God's Word, where in Scripture, does the Lord focus the attention on our greatness or our importance? Do you read somewhere in the Bible that says, blessed are the great in spirit? Or blessed are the important people? Nowhere. On the contrary, Jesus' humbling teaching is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Actually, the Lord started with that teaching in Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for such is the kingdom of heaven. In our text, we read that Jesus welcomes children, and next, that he takes children as examples. He gives children a place of honor, so to speak. And his clear teaching is, we have to become like such little ones. Such children, those little ones, they are not anxious about what they have to do. They are not apprehensive about the future. Those little ones are just happy when you lovingly and caringly receive them and when you put your hand on them. Brothers and sisters, congregation, let us understand the Lord's teaching very well. That Jesus likes children, the little ones, that he receives them, that he takes them as an example for us. All that does not mean that our church services and church life now have to become child-centered. Much less that we have to act like children, that we have to behave childish. Not at all, no. Here the focus is on the openness of children. The focus here, all the attention is on the receptivity of children. The point is that the kingdom of God must be received as a totally free gift. And you know how children receive gifts? They receive a gift with great excitement. They receive a gift without thinking, oh, I received this great thing now, but what must I now give in return? Or do in return? No. They naturally take what others give them. Furthermore, little children also depend on the wisdom and care of adults. They are carried in their arms. In such a manner, people must accept the promises and the gifts of the Lord Jesus, that God is pleased with the simple faith like a child that puts all his trust and confidence in the Lord who loves him. Like the disciples, they needed a teaching. Like the disciples needed this message, so do we. We need the repeated word of Christ as a revealing lesson that he himself admits to his lap. Also today, and this afternoon, we have seen that the Lord Jesus' lap is his congregation, the church. A baptism we have seen that little children were received in the church. They were received in Christ's lap, his congregation. The congregation of the exalted Lord. Here, Christ admits and receives us. And here in church, he blesses us. And he touches us as his children. Here we Listen to his command that he says, come to me. And at this moment, it is a marvelous blessing, beloved. At this moment, Jesus' hands are upon us, for he blesses us. Don't argue about that. Don't be anxious about your life and future. Simply accept the word of the Lord Jesus. Simply and humbly accept the gospel. Jesus is your life. And every time a baby is baptized, we hear God saying, you fully belong to me. You are mine. And I don't send you away. I will care for you. I give you my full blessing. I receive you in my church. You are very special to me. Like God said to covenant children in the Old Testament through circumcision, so he does in the New Testament through baptism. It is marvelous in our eyes. And so, congregation, get this teaching from the gospel, from the Lord. Don't stand the Lord in the way. Don't stand each other in the way. Don't hinder each other. Much less think that you can get the Lord's blessings on your own terms. As a children of the Lord, sheep and lambs of the flock, his congregation, great and small alike. Jesus is truly that with what we started the sermon on this afternoon. Jesus Christ is God's love gift to us. He indeed cares. He heals. He saves. He gives peace. You know what? You are always safe in his lap. Amen.